As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor, and he used to work here, now he doesn't, and he does this for free. He's Brandon from the internet.
Oh, man, I hope I start getting paid because I just quit my job.
To start another one, though, where you got your name in the business, man. You didn't have to start the business. That's pretty dope.
Yeah. It'll be fun. Here's the thing, though. Money is good.
Yeah.
and if you are listening to this and you're somebody who has a lot of money, and I'm sure there's a you work for like a professional radio station, so like I'm sure if there's a process to how they give us the money, but like ultimately just give us the money, you know? At least give me the money.
If you're someone in search of a house in the greater Spokane/whatever part of Idaho that is, give Brandon a call because he might be able to help you, maybe.
Yeah, especially like if I can pre-hide a weapon in your wall, like if that's going to be the selling point, like I can do that. You know what I mean?
Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain.
Not yet, but I can make you one. Apparently,
one of us is a licensed realtor.
Now, yeah.
If you are one of those previous things, though, if you could let us know what we get right or wrong, either way, that'd be great. At BrandonMG, at Hey Gregor on social, and thanks so much. If you could tell a friend, write a review. You'll find us now on all the major podcasting apps. The Gregor's Nerd Talk Plus. It's actually just called Gregor's Nerd Talk, I believe. Actually,
yeah.
You'll find us on all the podcasting apps, Odyssey or Apple or Overcast or whatever you prefer. And we're also you'll find us there, and if you could share it with a friend, that'd be awesome.
You can also go to Gregor's nerdtalk.com or something like that. We have a URL.
I thought we made one.
It's like it's Nerd Talk Plus, right? Nerdtalkplus.com. We really should know this. I literally worked in marketing for a long time.
Hey, there it is.
Really
Nerd Talk Plus.
Yeah. Nerd Talk Plus. If you go to nerdtalkplus.com, you can find our OnlyFans and probably links to the podcast and all the other things, too. And how you can reach us on social. To answer this week, I have a burning question of the week. Okay. Have you ever thought about opposite smell?
What does that even mean?
I just mean like
have you?
Yeah, oh, so much. I've thought about it so much. Like I think about it all the time. So the thing is, I think about the fact that a baby. I have a baby, and he recently pooped a lot, and it was all over himself, and it did not smell good because we've recently started him on the solid foods. And the thing about, there's this nurse in the hospital that told us like, oh, don't worry about baby poop, it doesn't smell bad. And I was like, that's false. I'm smelling it right now. You're smelling it right now. You're just used to smelling hospital smell. Okay. Well, I also think about all of these smells, like when you work at a hospital or when you have a child at home or when you worked at Quiznos, the first job that you ever got fired from, and you came home smelling like au jus.
There's the worst smelling place on the planet is the hospital, because it either smells like disinfectant or it smells like something nasty. The second worst place is the locker room at most of the public gyms that I have belonged to.
Or I honestly think one of the worst smells in the world is when you go into a bathroom in which somebody has just wrecked, and but they've done the good thing about like spraying the potpourri or whatever it is that they have to spray, like the room spray, to get to neutralize that smell. But it always just ends up smelling like a mixture of the poop and then the thing that you were spraying, right?
Yeah, poop stew, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's not good. It's like, why spray the stuff? I'd like rather just smell one thing.
You know, I came home from, after having made some bacon yesterday, and I came home and I was like, man, I'm going to have a bacon sandwich. Not a BLT, because I drop all the veggies, but myself a bacon sandwich. Open the front door and I was like, oh, it smells like old bacon in here. That's not appetizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing, only with and flowers.
Yeah. Yeah, well, okay, so, all right, old bacon. Your house smells like old bacon. Well, think about this. What if there was I just noticed what's on your shirt, by the way, too. That's sweet. Trogdor. Oh, it's the Seattle Kraken logo with the Trogdor, the Burninator. Oh, dude.
I felt so bad buying this because we know a bunch of people that work for the Kraken, and when they first launched, this was the immediate, like, kind of turd response that someone had to it, and I bought it right away. It's the Trogdor, only with the Seattle S. As the S that he uses, the Seattle Kraken S, and so I always like wore it secretly, but now that it's like season one is over, like who cares? It's fun.
Yeah. So I think almost all sports teams or any brands in general should like really embrace the fan made creations, just because it's like that's what builds like any sort of culture around your team.
Now, here's the thing, though, is that everyone's chasing the memes these days.
Yeah.
At the Formula One rate, are you already drinking beers? My God, it's 10 a.m. That's amazing. Can't read it.
Root beers.
Okay, you're right. At the Formula One race over the weekend in Canada, have you seen the meme of the guy that stands in New York City and he holds up a different...
The sign,
He like has a cardboard sign. He looks like a kind of like a yacht-going preppy guy. And he holds He was there with Mercedes slogans, standing in the pits with them, and I was like, you're officially trying too hard.
Yeah. When you start paying for memers, come on.
Yeah. Now, there's another guy that goes and watches trains drive by. His name is Francis something or other, and he's this English guy, and he's obsessed with trains. He's a train spotter. And they had him in Miami with one of the teams, and that was hilarious because like he has no business being there, and it wasn't...
Sure, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the line is between trying too hard and I guess if you just invite a guest and you're like, look at this guest we have, but the guy holding the sign felt like it was
It just raised a very interesting question,
literally.
Another question for me.
Yeah.
What's the train scene like in Miami?
I think mostly it's when people are running trains.
we gotta ask CJ.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Siege, if you're listening, hit us back, okay?
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, so you walk into your house and it smells like old bacon.
Hold on, let's start this over. The question of the week is, do you ever think about opposite smell?
Yeah.
Okay,
so, like,
no.
Okay, so there's these ideas about our sense of smell that I have, like, where, like, there's got to be a neutral smell, right? But, like, at the end of the day, like, right now, even though if I...
You're like a smell Mollier or whatever.
I sniff around right now and I'm like, okay, I don't smell anything, but I'm smelling something. Like I have to be smelling something.
You've
like
just become accustomed.
Yeah, I've just become accustomed to the thing that I'm smelling. Now, so what I'm wondering is like if you're smelling old bacon, you go into your house and you have old bacon. And you in like what if there was a thing like molecularly you break it down and you say, okay, these are the things that make up the smell of old bacon. And scientists, I'm sure, maybe they're working on this already, maybe they're not. If they're not, don't fund this show, like I was saying, if you're a person with money. Go fund the research of opposite smell. So
Dyson, if you're listening, I'm sure you're working on it with some sort of thing that's called ionizer or something or other.
Right. Opposite smellerizer. Go take that molecular break composition and create the opposite of it. So that way, if I come home smelling like au jus from Quiznos, I can spray that stuff on me. And it just like, it doesn't make me smell different. Like if I spray the room spray in the poop room, the bathroom, it doesn't make it smell like the mixture of poop soup or whatever you called it.
Poop stew.
Yeah. It just makes it smell like neutral. Like just make it smell normal. Like whatever I'm smelling right now. This second, make it smell like that because I'm smelling nothing.
Yeah, you just want something that breaks down the set molecules in the air, and maybe it leaves it feeling kind of stale or like sanitized, like the hospital or whatever. But if you could cancel out someone's, you know, turd bomb that they just dropped before you walked in there, that'd be all right, man.
Well, I think
you're really onto something here.
Think about if you eat something spicy, right? Like they say it might be an old wives' tale of like drink milk because it's supposed to neutralize the spice. I'm like, how do we neutralize smell? Like, do I have a candle or like a thing of wax that, you know, every time I accidentally smell poop, I just go like, oh, I got my, don't worry, I have my like little mini wax tin of anti-poop, and then I just give that a sniff and all of a sudden it's back to normal.
No, you want something that you spray into the air that breaks down anything that's heavier than a certain normal thing that you'd breathe in, right? So you like spray it and it just literally neutralizes them.
Yeah.
Like right now, you know, you put Lysol and it smells like Lysol, or you put like or if you like have a plug-in, you know, in your wall, it just smells like your grandma like got her like dead body cooked in the sun for a while or whatever. Like it's like
I don't want it to smell like the new thing. I want it to smell like nothing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So anyway,
if you know, if there's something that maybe this exists and I've like just never been high enough to Google it or maybe it exists and like it's out there and I should know about it and I just don't. But if you know about this, if you know about opposite smell, Please go to nerdtalkplus.com, get a hold of us on any of our socials, and tell us about the thing that is the opposite smell. Because it's such an obvious idea when you're, like, obviously this was an idea I had while high. It's such an obvious idea that why not? Like, how has it not been?
Ah, there we go, all better.
Well, okay, like, think this thing has huge, like, obviously all of the things I can think of is like, all right, how to make myself not smell poop, how to cover up the weed smell in my dorm room or whatever it is, right?
The cat peed on my comforter or whatever.
Yeah, like. But there's got to be, like, let's say business-friendly uses for this, like, spray it in the air and all of a sudden, if there was a concern about asbestos, it's gone, right? Or, like...
that seems illegal.
Well, I don't know. Like, I work in real estate now. You'd be surprised how much asbestos is in freaking everything.
So I worked at a radio station in Tucson, Arizona. Shout outs to KFMA. And
And studios always smell like farts. This would have a lot of play in radio.
It gets way worse. Everyone that's spent any time in Seattle is familiar with the Tacoma aroma, right? And it's just it's a paper processing mill, right? Is that made it that way?
Yeah.
Well, we worked like it was like our station, the wildlife preserve, and then the paper processing plant. And so every day at 4 o'clock, like clockwork, they'd be done for the day and they would like release the valve that then sent the poop smell directly to the radio station. And so like bands would be in, because bands don't get up early and stuff like that, and they'd be like going to perform, and all of a sudden the whole building smelled like Tacoma. And it was dreadful. So if you could have something that you put in like as a filter between the outside air and the inside that would just neutralize that smell, even if you had to be like, even if it was like not everything, if it was customizable, if you brought in like a smell specialist or something, a smell mollier.
Yeah.
You bring that person in and they like take a sample, of the air that's coming out, and they're like, this has 95% nitrogen or whatever. Yeah. And then they give you the corresponding filter spray.
This is 95% poop smell, and
it's like Banaca for your nose.
Sure,
instead of putting your breath smell better, you shoot it into your nose so you can't smell the terrible smells. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry to do this. I don't mean to be rude. I never mean to be rude. Sometimes funny it turns into rude, but I'm actually quite disappointed in what your story turned out to be, Brandon, because opposite smells sound so much different than neutralizing something. Like if you were like, man, this pineapple is delicious, and then someone came by and had like cat butthole, and that was like the perfect opposite.
But no, okay, no, but that's what I'm saying though, is like if you smell pineapple and you're like, and maybe you hate the smell of pineapple. I'm not saying that you like the smell of cat butt, but maybe smelling the cat butt will make you smell neither, because it neutralizes itself. Like it is neutralized. That's where this idea came from. It's like somewhere, like because we're limited as a species. We will never know the answer to certain questions. Like throughout my lifetime, how many pools will I filled up with my pee? Like, I will never know, like, the amount of pee that I peed throughout my lifetime, how many pools would that fill up, right? Yeah. Like, I'll never know the answer to that
Olympic
question.
Olympic or backyard. That's
well, that's a good point. Like, maybe let's reduce it to hot tubs, because as we talked about this on this show before, like, I don't pee enough, and when I do pee, it's for a long time.
And always in a hot tub.
And always in a hot tub. Oh, that answer's actually really easy. It's five hot tubs. I mean, I'm actually curious now.
Per
like,
year.
Yeah. I'm sure that I think we've done this. We've done a similar calculation before. Like, you're gonna have to bleep this next part out. But like, how much would it take to fill up a person?
A person.
Yeah,
toes to tops.
Yeah, you and I did like a couple of years ago. I'm pretty sure we like did the math on this.
How much volume? How much volume is there in a human?
It was a lot. I mean, it was a lot. It was like, so how many times
can we
would
change
you
that measurement to viscosity? None of this is usable.
I know. But we could probably do similar math to figure out, you know, how much volume typically do you pee? What's the standard size of a hot tub? How many times?
But you were going to say hot dog. I've peed 71,000 hot dogs.
I see, but you say that number 71,000. I don't know if that's low or high. You know what I mean? Like, I have no idea.
Okay. Do you want to get gross or not, dude? That's what this comes down to.
Have we not been?
Question of the week. Do you want to get gross or not?
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's get a gallon container and see how long it takes us to fill up a gallon container peeing at our houses.
Okay. Let's, because we're a podcast, maybe we can, in a radio show, maybe we can outsource this, and say, look, you and I don't have to get gross.
Once again, Siege, what are you doing, buddy?
He's like way ahead of you. He's like, oh, I did this last week.
This is part of my regular research. We're not going to fill you in on who this person is because it would take too long, but he's the best.
Yeah he's awesome.
All right, well, I'm glad we got the question of the week out of the way up top. Now, if you think back to a couple weeks ago, Brandon, there was a follow-up from when the European Union passed that new rule that was requiring companies to move to USB-C ports for charging. Now, a handful of U.S. senators are following suit. The idea is that having a zillion different types of chargers is both like super wasteful because you end up throwing all these ones away and then getting new ones and all this, fills up the landfills, and costs you a ton of money to dongle things. Looking at you, Apple. But then on top of that, also my mother-in-law complaining that she doesn't know how to charge her stuff because, of course. Now, to me, like, this seems like a no-brainer, except for the fact that initially we would throw away all of our old cables. Like, we'd end up getting rid of those. And so there would be an initial negative impact that goes against what they're saying. But, like, if Europe's going to do it anyway, like, what's the incentive for these companies to continue producing things that aren't USB-C here? This should be a super easy win. Then I saw that it was like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, and I was like, well, never mind, because we can't get anything done that makes sense, because like,
we've been trying to do Europe things for a long time, and it never happened.
And then it went to my mind, like, good thing we don't have like personal laser weapons, because then we'd never agree to like, I'm not using USB-C, that's for the communists. Yeah. Like, well, you're not going to regulate my guns. Like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Although it would be dope to have personalized laser weapons one day.
Yeah.
This is cool. A massive shout out to an East Sacramento boucher. A butcher.
He has that superior weapon.
He'll be launching a new way to get meat to your mouth even faster. Don't be nasty, okay?
I didn't. What's the opposite taste for that, though?
They'll soon launch a meat vending machine. That's... like, look out, Japan. You got all your fancy heated coffees and soups. We got a meat vending machine. And, like, I applaud their creativity, but my stupid brain can't help feel like this is how the robots will, like, Pied Piper us into the future. They'll be like, look at this tasty steak. It's Kobe beef. Like, oh, hey, I do want that. Yeah. Dangling little bits of ribeye to get us into the juicing pit. Like a vending machine with like robot arms holding a stick, like a little sack on the bottom, like, hey! Yeah.
It's give me the jerky. No.
Yeah, I feel like it's Every time anything, the machines start doing things that are like really making us super lazy, I'm always like, oh, right. this is a move to this is how the future is going to be terrible. But I don't know. Would you buy, if there's going to be a meat vending machine, I would assume people would, you know, use it. It seems like it would be effective to whatever capability. They just, the butcher shop gets so slammed with people wanting quality meat that they need to have it set aside or whatever. It's got to be frozen.
I feel like I can't, like the way that I picture it is probably very much not the way that it's going to be in real life.
Funyuns, because,
yeah.
Cool Ranch Doritos, ooh, 8 ounce ribeye
steak. Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
No, I feel like,
I got stuck. I got to buy another one.
Just an entire cow falls out of the no, like the way I picture it is like you go hit the button and then like cartoony sausage links just end up shooting out directly into your mouth from the vending machine opening.
I want there just on the other side of the machine to just be a cow that's being pushed into the sausage grinder, and then it's just like, it's like, how many links do you want? You're like 11, and it's like woo, woo, woo. On the other side it's like rrr. I don't actually want that, but that's how I imagine it.
No. But I also, like, I would love
to
see
all of the cow.
Everything that you just said, but animated in the Schoolhouse Rock style, because that's all I can picture. It turns out the cow is eating Doritos from the Dorito vending machine on the other side. So we just end up in a vending machine cycle.
Now, Brandon, what do you know about Digimon? Like, you seem like you're the right age to know about Pokemon and Digimon and stuff like that. Do you know anything? Do you follow that?
Yeah, I remember getting into Pokemon, and then, like, Digimon came out shortly after.
Is that a competitor, or is it the same family?
I think that they're competitors, technically. I think that Digimon, I mean, I could be completely wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that, like, Pokemon came out, and everybody was like, yeah, and then somebody else was like, okay, well, here's Digimon, and everybody was like, nah.
I think back to the 90s when I wanted rollerblades for Christmas, and my parents got me Veriflex, and I was like, do you hate me? Or because nobody thought Veriflex rollerblades were cool, bro. I said to my wife yesterday, I was like, at the beginning of every school year, we need to figure out what's cool, so that way one of the things that's cool we can get for our kids, so he's always got at least 1 foot in the cool game, because I had 0 feet in the cool game ever.
Yeah,
it was always like the clearance trapper keeper is the one that like my folks got me or whatever, because they just did not give a crap about that, rightfully so. I get it, but
sure. You don't want your kid growing up to be like a better than you, but also at the same time, like, don't, like, they want to be somewhat socially normal.
Yeah, just
but your kid's already talking about like space stuff at the table, so he's not going to be the normal kid. But
and he's
like,
not just talking about like Pluto's no longer a planet. He's like, Sputnik Planitia is the heart shaped plane on Pluto, and I'm like, oh my god. I love it, every second of it. But yes, you're right. So I just wanted to have like a thing to fall back on. Like, I remember when JanSport backpacks were all the rage.
Sure,
you could only wear it on one shoulder. Otherwise, you were such a loser. And you had to have a JanSport. And like, I remember we didn't get mine until it was, you know, until it was too late and I couldn't get a cool one or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that my parents raised me right and did all those things.
Your kid's gonna be like, did you know that the 9 moons of Saturn? And then this bully's gonna come up and be like, I'm gonna kick your, and then he's like, oh, nice shoes though. And then he's gonna,
damn dude, those Jordans, give me those Jordans.
Yeah.
So I don't know a lot about Digimon. I followed Pokemon a little bit, but I'm just the wrong age for it to have been like for me. It was like Pokemon came out when I was like probably early high school or something like that, and it was like a kid thing. Like, Magic the Gathering was, like, when I was in middle school, that's when it started, and who foresaw that thing becoming the empire that it is? And Pokemon was after that, and it was kind of a similar arc, I guess. They have all these games, and Nintendo owns it, and all those things. Well, Digimon wants to trick your kids into exercising. Like, the NFL...
Again, following behind Pokemon Go, that already did this.
Introducing the Digimon smartwatch that'll only pump up your creatures when you get out and play. I mean, in theory, this is, like, pretty cool, and I guess it could be fun, and... I don't know.
It's kind of like what happened, like the fictional version of what you do in Pokemon. Like, if you need your character to evolve or to go to the next level, you had to get a certain amount of steps in, and like time had to pass in order for that to happen. And the way that the game calculated that was how far your character was walking. So you just end up there mashing the little D-pad, going around in circles until you got your, you know, Bulbasaur to be. I almost said Brontosaurus. You get your Bulbasaur to become whatever the next version of the Ivysaur. So it sounds like they're just like, yeah, that, but real though?
I mean, this is fine and all once you convince your kid into putting down the iPad or Nintendo Switch or PlayStation, Xbox, YouTube, TikTok, Minecraft, Snapchat. You know, like once you get past those simple things, you go outside and look at your watch that doesn't do much. Like, yeah. I feel like this is a losing battle. And I read this and I was like, no way, dude. Kids can smell this a million miles away. It has to, like, unless it somehow becomes like niche cool. Like,
well, but that's the thing. I mean, like, just to take it back to Pokemon Go, like, there was a lot of stories right after that came out of people who lost significant amount of weight and like got into significantly better shape. And I'm not even just talking about weight because I don't want to be like a shamer of anybody. But like just like people that got into better heart shape, that got into like got some regular exercise, even if it was minimal, even if it was just walking to the corner of the block so they could catch the Gyarados or whatever it was. Like there were so many stories that came out and it's like, I don't think that that was a legitimately fun activity that people could get involved in. And I don't feel like it was ever like it wasn't like Michelle Obama tricking you into getting skinny. Like it just felt like a normal.
Didn't work, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. Now I'm, what do I do with this six pack? I got to pay taxes on this. Are you kidding me?
And then there was always with Pokemon Go also when you would, when you'd find a Weedle and you'd be nude and you could make the little AR go on your wiener. That was fun. You did that right? Everyone did that, right?
Yeah, mine looked more like a Ditto, but yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like also that you're carrying around a moving screen with the AR capability is what I'm saying, the augmented reality, not the shooting a school capability, but it's the idea that, like, again, you weren't just on some watch where there was just a little thing going like, you know, like Tamagotchi convinced 15-year-olds in 1995 that was cool with two buttons and nothing that would happen, but like...
So if this is to trick kids into getting some exercise, like was Tamagotchi just like one parent someday was like, I'm tired of my kid asking me for a dog. I'm just going to create like this. I'm going to trick him into like, maybe he'll think that this fake animal that I'm giving him on this little device is going to be just as good. And it worked. And then it became like what it was. Like, well, maybe that's what they're hoping to happen here with Digimon.
I'm guessing it was Japanese parents being like, ain't no way we're getting a cat for this tiny house.
Yeah.
And like, here, take this. Tamagotchi and keep it alive for 65 days and then we'll talk about it. And then a kid after 2 seconds is like, boring, and like back to something else. And so they're like, see, well, you couldn't even do that. Well, if we can't get you a real kitty cat.
I just realized, you just made me think of this, this joke, this meme that I saw that where, you're a parent in a different part of your parenting career than I am, where I don't have to deal with this yet. But I learned a interesting trick, which was when your kid asks you something that you really don't want to deal with, you just say, let me think about it, in hopes that they just forget what they asked you about. That's what the Tamagotchi was. It was like, can we have a kid? Here, can we have a cat? Here's the fake cat. Like, if you keep it alive for 65 days, then we'll talk about it. And the kid just completely forgets about it in 3 seconds.
You're just banking on their failure is what you're doing.
Yeah.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
All right, so this is one that has potential for good, but I always see evil in things, and so sure. Here we are. It feels like a plot to like a Godzilla movie, perhaps. It could be the answer for us not stinking up the Earth. There's a type of larva commonly called a superworm that can survive solely on polystyrene, aka styrofoam. And I can only think of like, oh, a worm that lives off my Chinese food takeout containers. Cool, what a relationship. It's going to be great.
But it's only a Digimon, damn it.
When I hear superworm, like, it's always the short-sightedness of, like, everyone needs a car. And then, like, 50 years later, it's like, oh, the cars are destroying the Earth. This is bad. Everyone needs an electric car. That'll save it. Everyone talks about green energy, and I'm for taking steps towards something cleaner. But it's like, batteries ain't clean, dude. And so it's like incremental steps that we have to take to get places. But then I hear superworm, and I'm like, well, that eventually morphs into something and becomes Mothra and like tries to like fly around, and we have to make a Godzilla, and then the Godzilla gets a mind of its own, and then we need Mecha Godzilla, and then it throws us into the juicing pit, and it's like a whole thing.
It's the little old lady who swallowed a fly, except for that fly became Mecha Godzilla and was tricking us into eating out of meat vending machines.
So, but I guess like the trick we'd need is we need these things to chew through like an entire landfill. And then you got to think about how you're going to keep the seagulls from eating all the superworms, and then what happens in there, and they become ultra birds. And then eventually I got to the point where I was like, oh, this is how we get pterodactyls back. Like we talked about last time.
Yeah. I think there's part of this where, I totally hear what you're saying about like worrying that superworm is going to become like Mecha Godzilla and like we're just gonna end it. But like there's also the part of me that thinks, you know, we see Spider-Man and Spider-Man gets bit by a radioactive spider and he gets superpowers, or somebody falls into industrial accident and becomes Sandman, or all of these different things, when in reality, like, get bit by a radioactive spider and gets cancer, you know. like ultimately, like, seagull going to eat superworm and die, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's what's going to happen.
Now, so wait, if it's like, if the pterodactyl comes back by my extrapolation here,
yeah,
does it then eat garbage because that's its like upbringing, right? That it's the garbage eating pterodactyl.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, can we cross the DNA of a superworm with a goat? Because goats love eating garbage. Maybe that would work out. And then just have like a big trash farm with all these garbage eating animals. And then I was like, wait a second, T-Rexes eat goats.
Yeah.
If I remember anything from that documentary Jurassic Park, that's how it goes down. So
we're going to get a garbage Rex, a G-Rex.
In actuality, they're called dark beetles that after some time, the larva turn into a pretty significant sized beetle, probably about the size of your thumb.
Yeah.
And then all I can think about is if they have like an infinite source of food to eat, then we just have like beetle infestations everywhere. And then like you have to be like, well, now how do we get rid of the beetles? Because again, we're like monkeying with, poor choice of words, we're like messing with the order of nature to be like, now we'll introduce these things.
Yeah. Just,
there's got to be a way to incrementally do all these things so the ecosystem has a chance to catch up, because otherwise we're totally screwed.
We're like, let's introduce all the superworms into the landfill. It's like, oh, crap, what do we do with all these freaking beetles now? And it's like, then that's where you get the... See, I'm trying to think now, like...
Beetlejuice!
That's what it's going to be. Is we're literally going to make... That's going to be like the Soylent of the future. It's just going to be like, okay, the larva eats the plastic, becomes the plastic dark beetle, which dark beetle sounds like there's a Gandalf the White Beetle, and then like there just happens to be the existence of like the evil beetle.
Sauron, the evil beetle.
Yeah.
He used to play drums, but then Ringo took his spot.
Yeah. Beetle.
Oh, how about if you did all the Beatles songs in like black metal, and then you had your dark beetle?
As long as he eats plastic, I'm cool, man. Again, just like Opposite Smell, I'm sure that death metal beetle covers exist.
Oh, for sure, right?
Right?
Yeah.
So, but I like the idea
I'd like
of
to be under the sea with an octopus's garden in the shade. Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. The idea though of like, you know, we talked about it would be good for humans if we had to worry about pterodactyls like flying over us, because if at any point you walked outside there was the chance that a pterodactyl would swoop you up and take you away to feed its little pterodactyl babies.
Cool.
Does a pterodactyl baby bird you? You know,
like, do you get...
Oh,
still an undigested eyeball. Cool. Yeah.
What's the opposite smell of my baby birded body?
Go ask Carla.
Yeah. Okay. I like the idea of instead of having to worry about these pterodactyls, it's just like the symbiotic relationship where we're like, hey, I'm done with this Starbucks cup, and you throw it up in the air, and then a pterodactyl comes by and grabs it.
That's what I'm saying, until the G-Rex shows up and eats your family.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's we made quite the distance today, Brandon. I'm proud of us.
Yeah.
Time to take a look back at all this incredible knowledge that we've provided everyone and talk about what did we learn this week. After all, this is a very heady show. Brandon, did you learn anything this week, buddy?
Yeah, I learned about the G-Rex, dude. I'm actually stoked about the garbage. Hey, can I tell you something? In Riverfront Park, which is here in Spokane, where I live, there is a garbage goat, is what it's called. It's like a mechanical thing, and you push a button. If you have garbage with you while you're walking through your park, you can hold it under the garbage goat's mouth, and it'll suck it up and eat it.
I believe it's called Mecha Godzilla.
Mecha Godzilla. Now I'm going to petition the city to install a G-Rex. Gregor, that should have been your name, by the way, your radio name.
G-Rex.
G-Rex. Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I learned that Brandon's getting a new job. Congratulations. Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Strange choice to become a smellmalier, though. I feel like that's huffing farts for a living is a weird... Weird choice, buddy.
For science, man.
You're right. For science. Yeah. You got to find that neutralizer, right? Every scent has its anti-scent. It's kind of like what do they call, like, Bizarro Superman and Superman fight, and their powers are matched?
The Dark Beetle. The Dark Beetle is the opposite smell of Gandalf the Beetle.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk.
Hey, thanks for listening to Nerd Talk Plus. Our weekly installments happen 10 a.m. on Tuesday mornings on the Odyssey app, and then available on the Odyssey app as a podcast or from your podcast provider. He's Brandon, I'm Gregor. Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, thank you.
And go to nerdtalkplus.com. Yay, marketing!
Hey, you remembered.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.